I need to get some boots. No.
Pull it out, you know.
Sure hope so.
Oh, hell. The Monday, October 1st, Transportation Committee meeting of Mount Pleasant Town Council. And it is 2 p.m., and we are on the third floor of the municipal complex. Unless you had a court date, you want to be down on the first floor. That's a different transportation matter for you. So item number one is approval of the minutes of the August 6th meeting. They were quite long and lengthy, and I'm not sure who did those. Did you do those? Those were excellent. It was y'all remember, it was all that CARTA stuff and all that master plan for the road around the park on Rifle Range. So is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion, any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Item number two on the agenda is public comments. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to make a comment? If so, please step up to the microphone. All right. Seeing none, we will move on to item number three, employee years of service recognition. Mr. Morris.
I'm going to take that, and I'm going to shuffle over here because somebody doesn't like the limelight. Hmm? But as you mentioned before, Kathy Godsey is an integral part of our team. She does wonderful minutes. Makes it a lot easier for me. But she's been here for 5 years now. She's had 2.5 years with Jody in public services and 2.5 years in our department. So great service by her. Some things that I'll note about Kathy is she's excellent with public relations and folks on the phone, because that's not always an easy thing in our department. Public service is probably a little bit worse than that, but anyway, always positive. She's organized our department and myself much greater than we ever could have imagined. We're a lot more efficient because of that. And the last thing I'll say is she's just an extremely positive person, and she's a joy to be around, and everybody, her coworkers recognize that. And for all those qualities, we want to say thank you, and congratulations for 5 years. Here's your pen, and you'll be getting something in the And she had an excuse. She had to take a minute, so that's why she didn't have to.
There you go. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Did someone miss a chance to make a public comment? If you did, we can go back. You can, as a member of the public. We can't go out of order, but you, as a member of the public, you're welcome to make your comment if you missed that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning. Sorry, you moved through that really quickly, and we were trying to figure out who was going to come up. But there are four of us here that are residents of the Abbey of Park West. So I don't know if now or when we get to that point is where we kind of want to speak to just some of the issues and concerns of speeding, reckless driving, drag racing, and I think the children actually outnumber the adults back in the Abbey, which is really concerning.
You need your name and address for
my that. Name is Lauren Sigler. I live at 3424 Salterbeck Street in the Abbey. I think that really sums up the bulk of the issues. It's speeding, it's reckless driving. Unfortunately, we happen to be a cut through for Wando High School students. The new Costco is there, which is not helping matters. It's great for all of us that live there, except for our wallets. But outside of that, we're dealing with the backlash of that having been a cut through, essentially, to get out to the Park West light. So I've just barely been there a year, and I happen to be right on a corner. And it really looks like nobody lives there anymore with this picture, but that's really outdated. Yeah, so this makes it look like it shouldn't be a big issue, but that is full of homes now. Every home but one of the 40 is moved into and occupied at this point in time. So I think just as a matter of safety, we are concerned about the lack of management in terms of catching people for speeding, driving recklessly, truly recklessly down that street. I can count on the number of hands these, you know, women and myself who have literally stood out in our front yards going, please slow down. It's terrifying. I have a 2-year-old. I'm sorry, this is hard. I have a 2-year-old and I live on the corner, and it's hard. I know it sounds silly, but it's not just residential. It's businesses that are back there too. So there's a lot of people's lives at stake. And I've never been in a neighborhood. I think people take it for granted as like a business complex and not as a residential street like it is. Maybe 2 years ago it was a different story. Nobody was there, but that's not how it is anymore.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want to add anything else, but
the only thing I would add, my name
and your name and address, and also I want you to know when we get to this point, if we need to ask y'all some questions, it doesn't mean that's okay. The end of your input.
My name is Heather Lay. I live at 3373 Stockdale Street, so I'm the other side of the Abbey on Stockdale. The only thing that I would say is that we have asked our HOA, we have contacted the police department, we have tried to do anything other than end up here. We've asked for speed humps on Salter Beck, but apparently the street isn't long enough. We've asked for patrolling. That just happened after I emailed the town council. So that's been great. We've seen a few people pulled over, but we need to figure out a permanent solution if possible.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Which brings us to item number 4, discussion of traffic concerns in the Abbey subdivision in Park West. I'll turn it over.
I guess before staff goes, I didn't know that Mr. Brimmer, had requested this beyond. Do you want to make any opening remarks?
Sure, thank you, okay. Mr. Mayor. A couple of months ago, we had a resident from Abbey come to us and explain to us the difficulties with speeding through the neighborhood here. And I know all of us have received at least one email, maybe several, from other residents explaining the situation. Now, as a Park West resident, I'm very familiar with this area, lived there a long time. And for those of you not familiar with it, this was originally in the master plan for Park West designed to be a commercial area. Over the years, the developer, because of market reasons, I suppose, it transitioned into a residential neighborhood. So what you have here is you've got Salter Beck Drive coming off Park West Boulevard down to a stop sign, and then traffic turns right to go to Carolina Park and all everything down there. The other street is Stockdale, which has no stop sign. People turn onto that road and then accelerate through until the road becomes a 4-lane road, and then speeds really pick up. So this has been an issue for quite some time. It's gotten worse with, of course, Wando traffic, commercial traffic, just residential traffic. So we were asked to look at potential traffic calming here, and several options have been discussed, some of them not feasible just because of the ordinances we have in town or for other reasons. And so I've had some conversations with residents there and trying to brainstorm what can be done. And staff has been very good as well. I talked to Paul and Brad both and James. And I've asked whether we could consider the placement of some traffic signs. And we've used these traffic signs in other parts of town, especially on McCants Boulevard. What it does is it does let people know what their speed is going down there. And of course it's not the best overall solution, but I think people need to know when they're going in this area that it is a residential area. And maybe if they were more aware of their speed at that point, it may contribute to some reduction in speed through there.
You're talking about those radar signs that tell you what you're doing. Yeah.
So I've asked of us to consider possibly the placement of two of these. One going on to Stockdale Street once that turn is made to keep people from accelerating through this area. The other being placed for traffic coming off Park Avenue Boulevard into that neighborhood. Again, just to alert people that this is a residential area and perhaps they need to slow down. I don't think one on Salter Beck necessarily needs to be there because folks are already going to stop at the stop sign anyway. Well,
that's where our problem is.
At least there you've got a stop sign which does slow the traffic down before they turn right. So I just wanted this committee to take a look at the possibility of something here and have staff comment on the viability of that or anything else that could perhaps help this area.
Sure. Thank you, Bill. Yes, Mr. Busso.
I have another idea as well. This area, it's been my experience, and I go to the airport every day, literally every day. And I know that there's a change in traffic patterns, especially when school starts, because people will come across, cross 17 on the Park West Boulevard, and then go to Stockdale by the fitness center. But they also get off at Salterback, and they also get off at the little traffic circle and shoot back up through, what's that, professional lane? I think it, they'll shoot up that way, take a right, and take a right. And they do that because if you turn down Faison Road, or, well, primarily Faison Road, Airport Road, whatever it is these days, and you can't get across, and you can't turn because of the, and this is, I've talked about a traffic light before, Brad, and I know the warrant study was done, and I think you said it wasn't sufficient to warrant a traffic light, but when school is in, at school hours, when it's let in, and school hours when they're leaving, you can't cross Park Avenue almost at any time. So people will turn right from the airport or turn left as much as best they can and go down. And then there's a little slip lane there where you can turn down Salterback, come down, and do it in reverse and get across 17 by going through that little traffic circle, the Park West traffic circle, down at the end. And people do that to avoid Airport Road, or so they can just have less conflicts and traffic to get through. And I know the folks that go to the airport, and now we're starting to get more traffic at the airport and more traffic at Oceanside Academy. And I'm guilty because I can't get when I leave the airport and I'm trying to go to 17 to turn right to go home, I can't get there from here. So I have to turn right at Park Avenue and then turn left on the Salterback and then get on Park West Boulevard to get out. And it's my belief, and I understand the warrant, you know, wasn't specific just for, you know, school times, but during school times, it is nearly impossible. At 3:30 down Faison Road to Park Avenue, I've been like the 25th car on a two-lane road, and it just you sit there, and people get agitated, and then they're shooting out into traffic. So I get it. I'm part of the problem because I do that too, but it is bad, and there are so many ways to get the Salterback and right in there to avoid traffic. So, I really do believe a traffic light, you know, if we could somehow put one there so that people would go to Faison Road or go some other way rather than cutting through Salterback. And I know the school traffic to Oceanside and Wando, they all drive through there.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Canning.
Yes, I used to have an office right there where it says Park West Preschool. It was that same building for 4 years, and it was right when the place was being built. It is extremely problematic. Now, the solution being offered of the flashing signs, I think they work, but we've learned that they work for only a period of time, correct, Mr. Morrison?
What we've learned in our pilot project is really the bottom right of that slide, kind of the takeaways, and that was in a memo to you. But reductions on McCants were seen to be in the 2 to 7 mile per hour range. But that second bullet there is probably more relevant, and more relevant maybe to this discussion, in that it appears to be most effective when you're driving from a higher speed, a Ben Sawyer, or coming on a McCants, or in this instance Park West, which is 35, and then Park Avenue Boulevard, I believe, is 40, right. that notice of reduction in speed is emphasized through the sign. So we're about ready to come up on a year on those signs and the cants to do some additional studies, but those were the takeaways from the radar feedback.
So there wasn't a period, it wasn't like, I thought there was something we heard a few months back where they were really effective in the beginning and then slowly people start to ignore them.
I don't know if that was a part of the discussion, but this is directly from the memo. Okay. So, I mean, this is what I am emphasizing. I'm not saying that, okay. that can be the case with any of these devices, and that's the concern about putting something up is you put something up and then it becomes ineffective.
Okay, have we looked at, see where the median is, where Saltabeck meets Park Avenue Boulevard and Stockdale at the T? Mm-hmm. What if we extended that median and made it a right only? That eliminates half the problem, eliminates the afternoon traffic.
I'm sorry, I'm not following you.
See the median on Stockdale Street, there's a median up top.
Yes, all the way at right Salterbeck.
At Salterbeck at the intersection. Right. In other words, if we blocked off Salterbeck, and there would be no afternoon incoming traffic then. And I'm assuming there's more kids playing in the afternoon than in the morning.
Well, I mean, you're talking about...
Accurate.
You're talking about very restrictive type approaches to what is being... said to be a speeding problem. You know, I'd recommend a few more things before you jump to something that what I call severe, because it limits their travel also. And if you would like me, I'll just talk a little bit about Stockdale first, and I'll remind the committee that we're in the process of going through design right now of the Stockdale Park West Boulevard intersection. We talked about a roundabout. You'll see some concepts coming up here in the next few months on that that intersection. So the improvement there could, as it would intended to be, draw traffic to what we call a major collector. That Stockdale, no matter what's on it now today, has always been intended to be a major collector road between the two developments. So you'll see some gain maybe from away from Salterbeck if we gain some efficiencies there. It's not eligible for traffic calming in the sense of speed humps because it is a major collector and carries. It's going to carry a higher volume than it does today. So this was the solution. That third bullet down there that's highlighted is recommendations perhaps for those speed feedback signs were for in situations like this, where it's not eligible for the speed hump program. You could place these because they're not. They're not a physical restriction in the roadway, but they would have.
Are you talking about Stockdale now?
Stockdale is not eligible, yes, okay. Sir.
Now, what about Salterbeck?
Salterbeck is eligible in the sense that on our map it's shown to be eligible, but we have some guidance regarding the minimum length of a roadway being about 1,000 feet, and that 1,000 feet is based upon two humps being placed between two stop-controlled intersections. Now, in this instance, just like we have all other locations, it's not everything fits in that box. In this instance, you have half the street is commercial, and then the other 770 feet is what it is residential. You could place humps on that street. They're going to be much closer spaced than what we typically have. So I'm not saying it's not eligible. It didn't meet our typical 1,050 feet. If the committee wanted to consider that, I believe they probably should go through the process, and we can get them in. If you'd like to go ahead and for this year, we can try to get them in and collect the data, and they can do the. In this instance, I don't know how we're going to define the petition area, but we'll have to work through that.
From the back row.
But anyway, that could be ultimately the committee's decision on that. So on Stockdale, you could consider these devices, the radar feedback signs. And if you wanted to, you know, it's a little bit out of the program, but not without the realm of your decision making to consider speed humps on Salterbeck. Only within the I would only recommend those in the residential area.
Mr. Kinney.
Okay. What other traffic calming methods are there besides speed humps? Can we put like a tiny
four-way
little
stops.
Median or something on Salterbeck just to slow people down? I know there's other things in the menu out there, even if we don't use them in town. If it's not fitting the check the boxes for speed humps, there's probably a reason. Somebody has valid concern as to how far apart they should be and whatnot. Is there any way to do something else?
The other type of device we have is always stop, so that would be a stop sign. And the only place you might consider it here would be it's not even a named road. It would be at the with the intersection of the that last commercial
last
intersection.
Last commercial spot. Yeah. There's driveways on both sides, and it is an intersection.
Right. Now, you know, I'll be honest with you. This data is available to anybody. The stop sign is not that effective. It's effective within about 130 feet. But that doesn't mean they can't be effective in certain situations. It may not be in this one. So self-enforcing application is that's why we have the speed humps. So I just put that out there as a possibility because you've asked the questions about other devices.
Did the police department or anybody put the boxes out to get speeds out there see what we're actually dealing with? I know it's not that I don't believe the people that live there, but I know that when you're standing on the street, sometimes a loud car seems faster than it really is and that type of stuff. Chief, have we done that yet?
We have not put the box out there. We can do that still so we can plug the data. I can tell you, again, not as much as they'd like, obviously, but we have been doing direct enforcement with traffic team and patrol team, not in Salter Bay, but all in this area, in Park West in general. We're out there. So we can certainly collect that data.
I see them out there. Thank you.
Mr. Bustos. Yes.
Brand. You know, when you turn right onto Park Avenue, there's a fairly big apartment complex that has been built in there. They're not connected to that in any way, are they? Or are they?
They're on Park Avenue Boulevard.
Yeah, I know, but the outlet for where they get
in. It doesn't feed into Salter Bay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just that Park Avenue stuff.
It is a good cut through, though.
It is.
Do we have any authority to lower the speed limit?
It
won't make any difference.
I had actually thought about that. It is 25, but if it were possible to lower it to like 15 at where the houses start, 25 is fine for the businesses, and it's a way to get people to slow down. But if we could get it to 15 in the actual residential area, I think that would be a huge help.
Let me ask our staff. Is that legal?
Well,
do we have
any change from our ordinance, the standard 25 mile per hour ordinance for all residential streets and otherwise posted? It has to be supported by a speed study. And I can only speak from the experience of the traffic engineering side, the enforcement. I'll let the chief speak because that becomes very problematic, setting an unrealistically low speed limit. And so you would have to do a study to support it. It would unlikely support it because the road's been designed, you know, for that 25-mile-hour speed limit.
Mr. Bustos, go ahead.
This is a fairly short residential area. I would think a speed hump and then people start slowing down for the stop sign at Salter Beck and Park. And there's a pretty good pothole right there, too, that slows people down when you turn right. But I would think a speed hump in the center there, and then people start slowing down for the stop sign. You know, that might be it's just going to have to slow people down.
I looked at that actually last week, and in the context of if the committee were to direct staff to pursue a speed hump placement, probably once again maybe after they go through the process, if we get out there and we find the speeds are not necessarily meeting what we have as a standard, that would be 30 miles per hour at the 85th percentile. But there's room there for two speed humps in that area. They'd be placed probably in the 300 to 400 foot spacing. So that's less than what we typically do, but you could do it.
What he's talking about, I just want to make sure of the resident. Okay. And then we go through that process by putting out data collectors first.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes. Let me let Councilman Bustos finish, and then I'll hear from you. Go ahead.
In Charleston National, we put out the temporary speed.
I'm sorry. In Charleston National, I remember years ago when they were having the cut-through problem, we put those temporary rubber speed humps out, and then it went to permanent. Later on, would it be possible for us to put the rubber ones out now and then see how things go?
I think that's up to that's your discretion. Okay. We have the program. I would advise you maybe go through the program. Let's collect some data so you can at least understand what kind of problem we have there. But I mean, I think if you were going to go to that treble, you might as well go with a permit installation based upon the data. I'm not saying you can't do that. Those are called speed cushions.
Speed cushions.
But we did do that. Yes, sir. We did that in response to the high school traffic.
How long would it take to do the study, you think?
We could get the data next week if you wanted to. I mean, that's not an, it's very quickly to get the data. I'm not so sure about the petition process. I think minimally you'd want the neighborhood to do it, and I expect you're going to have 100% participation in that. But we're already into the process of traffic calming. We would be coming to you with recommendations in February, so I think we could get all that done.
As an interim measure between now and February, I mean, we could put speed cushions. Would that be doable?
Like I say, that's at your discretion.
I would
moved.
There you go. I would recommend that we go ahead and pursue the speed cushions now, and then I don't think it'll interrupt the gathering, the collection of data. But at least that'll give some relief now, and then by February, if it's a permanent situation, we can go ahead and put the permanent ones down.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
That's a motion. That's a second. Let me ask him, so now we have discussion. Does this include what Councilman Brimmer was talking about with the radar signs as well?
In the motion? I would ask
Mr. Bustos if you would add that to his motion.
Yeah, we can do that. Is that going to help collect data, or is that just for the police department to collect the data for targeted enforcement?
These would be the signs
that say slow down.
And they do collect data also.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So we right, is that one realistically placed there so close to Park West Boulevard that the people are, you know, they even up to their right, up to the travel speed at that point?
Yes, sir. It's 150 feet.
Okay.
And normally you're only doing about 20 miles an hour around the curve in that area.
Okay, so we have an amended motion to include both those measures. Do we have an amended second?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and a second. Is there any other discussion? Before we vote, I'd like to ask the residents, if very quickly, if y'all have some more input. We don't want to get out of control here, but please, if you'll stand up, we can hear you better.
Thank
you.
Okay. Let me ask one more question.
Okay. Let me recognize. I promised her I would recognize her for a second. Yes, ma'am.
There's a related thing to this, which a number of parents walk their kids to school, to the, you know, the elementaries, the group over.
Sure.
Carrie Laurel Hill.
Yes, and there's no crosswalk. I mean, I understand that, you know, we're a late comer to all of this, but the world has changed in the last 2 years on Park West Boulevard.
Right.
There has to be a crosswalk there. We had a mom walking her little girl, very little girl, to elementary school and was told by the crossing guard there that if she was seen doing it again, she was going to get a ticket because the only place is a crosswalk that's a half mile down.
At the park.
What, Grace is what, 8, 7?
Yeah.
So that means an extra mile for a 7-year-old before she even gets to walking to school.
Okay.
And that just seems really bizarre. Plus, half of us running for a quart of milk, somebody's going to get run over and milk splashed everywhere because there isn't anything near Publix. That would feed both of it.
And you're talking about across Park West Boulevard, which we are in the process of design and widening. Is that something we can look at in this process, or are we?
Yes, sir. We would consider that, and not to get off track, but that the issue she's talking about now has been discussed pretty extensively in the past, and there would have to be a pretty a study by the school district and DOT on concurrence. And there's a lot of activity in this area. And for that reason, that was the reason that it was, overall, it was felt the safest location where we have that high-intensity crosswalk. So I realize it's more walking, biking, but from a safety standpoint, that's the reason it's there and not in that high-trafficked area.
And Brad, also...
Just a minute.
Also, with the study going on about a possible roundabout there, that perhaps could have a couple benefits. One, it perhaps slow down traffic through this area, and two, it could perhaps provide a safer pedestrian crossing as well.
We would consider pedestrian crossings with any improvement at that intersection. And the other point I'd like to make is that this committee asked the CTC, I want to say it's the CTC or the TST, sales tax, to fund the sidewalk that you see in the, to the left up towards that that pedestrian crossing for that very reason. It was not connectivity, said we need to make that connectivity. So that was a part of the picture.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Is there any more? We've gotten off the initial motion, which addresses in the Abbey itself. So if there's no further discussion, all in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. So that takes care of the traffic calming for that. And I want to thank our police for y'all's help on that as well. Always loved by the citizens of Mount Pleasant. I guess even after you get a ticket, I don't know.
Yeah, one last thing. The lady, you ma'am, you said that the car speed in front of your house, is your house one that is facing Stockdale? It is, okay. And is that where we're going to put one of the speed signs that indicates?
The locations we would propose that are most effective for entering traffic would be as you see them on that graphic, which would be near the intersection of Salterbeck and about 150 feet up Stockdale from Park West Boulevard.
Yeah, I think the goal here is to not let people get up to speed before they see their speed. You want them to see it before and make an adjustment.
Yeah, I get that, but... Okay, but by the fitness center, people park right up, practically on the really on the shoulder of the road, and then turning into that, I think it's a daycare center. There's enough turning traffic and cars parked on the side of the road that it's really kind of an irritant, I think. So by the time people hit the end of the building right there where the houses or the end of that parking lot, where houses start, would be a good location, because that's when, running right in front of the house, they start accelerating because they've been held up by the fitness center and cars turning left. And it's a short stack right there.
All right. So when is the logical follow-up for this? When will there be some progress for us to?
Well, we would install them. We would procure them and install them as soon as we can.
What's a reasonable expectation? I'd like them to leave today to have an idea, knowing when.
60 to 90 days. I mean, I don't. I'd have to talk to the manufacturer we purchased the previous ones from, but okay. They're $3,000 a piece.
Okay.
So that's why we were proposing two in this situation. I think that if you did anything, you might want to. Staff will do what you want to do. That'd be nearly $10,000 for that installation. But if you wanted to maybe move the one at Park West further into the curve, you could do that, or you could get another one.
I think if you would just look at that.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. So the motion has passed. Y'all have your instructions.
Yes, sir.
The last part of the agenda is an update on ongoing projects. We're running a little over. I think the big question on everybody's mind is progress on Coleman.
Yes, sir. Well, the good news there is things are starting to take shape on the westbound side of Coleman. We've got all the sidewalk and curb and gutter in, all the drainage is in, all the curb and gutter except maybe a few locations. We're paving now. The two remaining items on that side of the road are landscaping and lighting, which should be going in the next 5 to 10 days prior to the new traffic shift to the eastbound lanes. And so that's where we are. Where we are with Coleman.
So when is there going to be another traffic shift there?
October 15th.
October 15th. All right. Yes, so we're going to push that word out.
Yes, sir.
I'll let everybody know.
Yep.
Okay.
Any questions?
Just one, if we're done with that. In terms of projects, I was able to have a meeting this past week with the staff working on Highway 41, just to get an update on that project. I get regular updates from Brad and staff here, but I wanted to get from the county's perspective. It was an interesting meeting. I think there's some perhaps some opportunities for us, and I want to give an update to Mayor as the chairman of the Transportation Committee and also council in terms of what I learned at that meeting, and maybe next month we can talk about some actions for council to take to help move that project forward even more. So
let's do it. Let's put it on our agenda for next month. Yes, sir.
If I could have 1 minute, I'll get through two really quick things.
How
because
about
I think
it?
You're interested in it. We have funded a what we call a mini roundabout at Paul Foster and Bell Hall Parkway, which I think will be very well received for that area. It'll be our first attempt. It's not going to be an attempt. It's going to be a success at a mini roundabout. They are different. They're a lot smaller than our typical ones, but they don't require all the infrastructure. You're basically doing it with markings and color pavement and these types of things. So you can see a finished one up in the right-hand corner. So
it's all just done in the existing right-of-way.
Yes, sir, within the existing right-of-way. All right, and the other one is a bus stop, really the reciprocal bus stop to what we have out in front of Town Hall here. We're looking to move that one that's in the curve, which quite frankly is not a really good position, back to this little red area in front of the office complex. And we're starting that design. I just want to let you know that it would likely require some acquisition from that property, but probably less than 200 square feet, like 6 by 25. But if we're going to pursue that, I want to let you know that now. Very minor, probably less than that, but that would be another great project with that high intensity crossing, as well as a mid-block place to stop also, because there's a lot of activity between those two stops, and we think it's a great project.
Great.
On Coleman, is there any possibility of revisiting the whole median issue, or is
that's a done deal? We're too far along. The medians are, we've been given direction by council to remove the on-street parking, and that's what we've done.
Okay, on the on-street parking, Paul, is the on-street parking in front of the boulevard area going to be removed too?
No, sir, that stays.
It was only for the new.
That's
it was
a head scratcher to me.
That was only for the new areas of construction.
Anything else?
So. Yeah, I just had to dig in on that a little more. If you leave the parking, then you have the parking, the bike lane, and then two travel lanes. Isn't that counterproductive to the bike lane in and of itself?
No, sir.
No.
The project will have bike lanes on both sides, and would have had on-street parking on both sides as well. So, but we did remove the on-street parking in front of Hibben Church, and in front of Brook Green Town Center, and in front of Moultrie Middle School. But the bike lanes still go in. It'll operate.
So how does that one property kind of get a special exception there?
Built. It was constructed in 2013.
Right, but we're rebuilding the road, right?
Not that
part.
The project limits are outside of that.
Gotcha.
All right. Anything else? Staff, anything else?
No, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right,
thank
council.
You.
We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Put another lane of traffic.
Say that again.